You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
BC teachers have been in contract negotiations with the government for almost a year with little or no headway. And this week, after a ruling by the BC Labor Relations Board, teachers voted in favor of a strike starting on Monday. The teachers will be allowed to walk out of their classrooms for 3 days and then for 1 day in subsequent weeks. The BC government, meanwhile, has tabled legislation to make the strike illegal and to force a contract onto the teachers. I'm joined by Phil Gray. He's been a teacher for over 20 years. He's taught from kindergarten to grade 12, and he's proud to be a public school teacher and a union member. Hi, Phil, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Thanks very much, Mordecai.
What have been the main stumbling blocks to reaching an agreement?
Well, the main stumbling blocks have been basically the government's intransigence and their unreasonable position that they've taken. I mean, the legislation that's come down last week is no surprise to us. We heard about that. Members of the BCTF heard about that in meetings that we held last June. At that time, we heard what the government had put on the table, and that hasn't changed. I gather 1,100 proposals on the table, and none have been signed off in the 78 meetings that they have had. So there's been no negotiation, basically. And the issues that concern us are in a number of areas. One of them is the government's attempt here to really strip our contract of a number of gains that we've made over the years, completely changing the system for the discipline and dismissal, the way professional development will work, the way posting and filling of all vacancies will be done, things that will really impact our autonomy as teachers and our ability to influence the workplace to make it a suitable learning environment. So that's a part of it, and also, of course, as workers we're concerned, we'll be losing all of our seniority rights should this legislation go through. At the same time, the issues that so management rights are look like they're going to skyrocket, and in terms of our issues education issues about class size limits and staffing levels and ratios and this sort of thing, the government has said that they are in fact not going to negotiate that until a year from now, June 2013. They're going to put that back on the table and say that they will talk to us about that at that time, but that our starting ground will be zero. All that language will be gone in the meantime.
Do you think that from the beginning the government intended to reach this impasse, that it set up a situation with its zero negotiations that there would be no agreement and they would step in then with legislating a contract?
I think part of the problem with the zero mandate is that it's not reasonable. We all know that the cost of living continues to increase. My understanding is that as teachers, we've lost 18% of our buying power. Our real wages have gone down 18%, I think, in the last 15 years. So this is a cut to us, people aren't going to stand for that lightly. And so that's part of why we're going on strike. I think at the same time, these other plans to gut our contract like that hasn't been negotiated at all, and in fact, the contract stripping, the legislation that's now before the House, the contract stripping is to be handled by a mediator that will be appointed by the minister, and to report out on how the contract stripping is to take place between now and June. It seems to us that what's really going on is that we took them to court when they went after our contract in 2005, I think it was. We took them to court, and last year we won, and they said, no, you have to negotiate. These people have a charter right to organize and to collectively bargain, and you have an obligation to do that. But since then, the government seems as though it's just playing a charade, sat down 78 times, agreed to nothing, as now legislating and a mediator is going to report out on how to strip our contract and the stuff that we want to talk about. We can do that next year.
If the government does get its way, what impact do you think that'll have on the education system?
I think it'll be devastating for public education in the province. Right now, this year, the Vancouver Sun has reported that there's a plan to for a $100 million cut in education funding right now, as of this year. Already, the classes are overcrowded with the class size limits that were in place. There have been 100,000 classrooms that have been oversized since they introduced the legislation. We can't imagine how big the classes are going to get. The quality of the feedback that the students get is going to be diminish. I teach senior high school, and I know I've only got so much time for each student. And if these kids want to do really well at school and carry on maybe in post-secondary and that, there's some instruction that would be really helpful for them to have. And the more students I have, the less feedback I can give them. When George Abbott stands up and says, well, he's taught a business administration course, and he doesn't care if there's 20 people room or 60 people in the room, I suggest that he never marked any of their papers. Because if he'd been marking their papers and giving them feedback on what they'd been doing, then he wouldn't make a comment like that. It's ignorant and it's self-serving toward his political aims.
People in California, people in other parts of the world seem to have had some of this style of RBC government imposed on them earlier. What happened to teachers in those situations?
Well, in California, we had three years ago, a teacher came up from California and spoke to the annual general meeting of the BCTF, and he was telling us how what's happened in California is that the profession has basically been de-skilled. The working conditions became so onerous that people left in droves, and that the vast majority of people who are now teaching in the California public schools are fresh out of college. The average stay for a teacher is 2 years that they stay on as a public school teacher, and then they move on to some more job with a more reasonable workload. So in California, this is what the state has been driven into. In Britain, where they started this sort of thing about 10 years ago, at that time, teachers left in droves. They left to the extent that for a few years running, for 3 years running, I believe, 20% of their teachers were leaving each year because the workload had just been made unreasonable. And so again, we see a real de-skilling of the profession, and I think that in the long run, that's really highly problematic.
Is this a drive to privatization of education?
Absolutely. I think that big money people can look at a place like Canada, where we have one of the most effective public school systems in the world. And they see there's a market there for education. Those people obviously value education. Look at their education system that they've been paying for. But as that's driven into the ground, there will be lots of room for private education. And even now, of course, we, the public, are subsidizing private education. The student, I know there's a school here in Maple Ridge. If I were so inclined, which I'm not, but if I were, I could pay $25,000 each for my children to send them there. But the school doesn't just get the $25,000, it also gets a further, I believe it's $4,000 each year from the government. So we're already subsidizing the private system. And as we make the public system just more and more difficult for students to do well in, I think that market will increase, and I believe that's the plan. I think the government that we've got now, they don't really believe in public services, except, I suppose, the police and the prisons.
This week, the government, and they're going to be debating this continuing on Monday, they tabled a bill to force you back to work. You mentioned they'll appoint a mediator, and the mediator will have a restricted mandate, class size and things like that won't be on the table. You didn't mention anything about the hefty fines that the government is also trying to use to prevent strike action.
In my own opinion, it seems to me that this sort of thing is obviously it's a draconian step to say, look, you know, you people, this is going to cost you so much money that you can't actually afford to do it. I think that's a terrible way for the government to operate. I mean, we have the right to take these collective actions, and they're you know, really acting in a very bullying manner and really being quite unreasonable. And so I think, you know, we're moving ahead to go on strike. There'll be a rally on the legislature on Tuesday, and there'll be teachers from all over the province there trying to let them know yet again that whatever destruction that they want to do to the province's education system, that we'll be there to oppose it.
There was a rally of students yesterday out in Vancouver, a successful rally, it seemed. How do you assess the support from the public at large for the teachers?
I've heard a lot of... I myself have got positive responses from parents since the job action began in September. One thing that's happened as a consequence of our job action that we're undertaking at the moment is that we are communicating directly with parents now rather than through the school administration, through which we get to provide quite a paltry form in the secondary school. Not the form that we would like to do. And this year we've been free to report as we choose, and parents, I believe, are more informed than they usually are, and they're quite pleased with how things are going. At the same time, many of them realize that the conditions in the schools are deteriorating and that they're keen to try to improve our public education system. And I think a lot of people support us in our struggle to try to do that.
And when you're out leafleting, as given the restrictions that the Labor Relations Board has put on it, you're not allowed to picket, and people can go from other union staff, administration, etc., can still go to the school. But would it be a benefit, do you think, to try and have a number of parents who aren't working at a particular hour to come out and join teachers?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Everyone is welcome to come and join our leafleting efforts. LRB has ruled that we're not to picket, and by which I gather it comes down to mean that we're not to wear signs, or we're not to prevent people from going into. We're not forming an official picket line, so other union members then are still at the direction of their employers to go to work. But certainly, parents will be quite welcome. Anybody at all, I would imagine that some students will be out and joining us. That's what when we were on strike last, we had quite a bit of. Parental support, and that went on for a few days. People were very kind and brought us the things to eat and hot drinks, and students as well. And I would imagine this time we'll also enjoy support from some parents.
Well, we wish you the best of luck on the job action this coming week.
Yeah.
And
thanks so much.
We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Okay. Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Phil Gray. He has been a teacher in the BC school system for over 20 years, proud to be a public school teacher and a union member. And as we have mentioned, the teachers are going on strike this Monday for 3 days, and your support on the line at the schools is most welcome.